Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It's time for the match preview show ahead of Liverpool versus Everton. Yet, the Merseyside derby is upon us tomorrow afternoon. Delighted to say I'm joined by Sam, by John and by Scott to talk through this one. And the first comment I'm going to bring up straight away from Dylan. I'm going to bring the lads. It says, haha lads, no way you've got Scott from Love Island on the show. So yeah, I'm not going to call you Scott from Love Island because I think that's quite disrespectful.
No. I'm have a second name to be
fair. Spelt a second name, by the way.
It was long on the screen, wasn't it? Vandus.
In the Dutch way, it's Vanderslaus, but
Vanderslaus.
To all English people, are a bit simple, aren't we? So
Vanderslaus, yeah. Vanderslaus, I was going to say, that's what I was going with. But it's, he's Scott from Love Island, no. It's Scott who used to play Liverpool Academy as well. Scott knows his footy and he is a big red as well, which is the most important thing for this one. Might as well start with you, Scott, mate. Let's start into it. The derby tomorrow, Liverpool in another early kickoff after an international break, and it's a derby game as well. Are there any butterflies, nerves, concerns along those things? Because Liverpool and early kickoffs aren't great. Liverpool after a break aren't great. The fact that it's a derby, or are you relatively confident?
I think I'm always relatively confident going into the Everton game at Anfield. Yeah. I can't remember the last time they beat us with fans there. I think it's been about 20 years. They obviously always come at us about the game behind closed doors.
Doesn't count.
It is what it is. But yeah, I also seen a thing where I think we've had 7 more early kickoffs than the next. I think it was Spurs had 6 or something. So I don't think the Premier League like us with this, or the TV channels anyway. But yeah, they're like the annoying little brother, aren't they? So I think we'll be all right.
I suppose as well, John, the interesting thing with Everton is that actually this year they've been rubbish at home but pretty good on the road, but this doesn't count as being on the road. Technically, they're at Anfield, a ground where Scott Riley says they never win. They had that COVID game, and even that one was a bit of a dodgy VAR. Calvert-Lewin kicked someone in the back of the head and got a penalty for it kind of thing. So it wasn't, that's literally what happened. So it kind of negates that, because it's funny because Paul spoke to Baz on the Oppo preview on Plus the other day, and he was like, we are better away from home, but does this count as away from home for Everton because it's the derby, you know what I mean?
It's hard because I think they've been a bit different this year, Everton. I think they're not quite the Dyche team, I expect. They're not quite two big lads up front, two wingers, two in midfield. They've gone a bit more, and whether that's because he knows there's 3 teams in the League West this year, I'm not sure, but or whether it's just because he's not put the house on Calvert-Lewin, which every other manager's done for the last 5 years. But they seem a bit more away from home. They seem a bit more sort of controlled, I guess, is the way I'd put it. They seem a bit more sort of on top of it and a bit less risk averse than they've been a bit less wide open than they've been under other managers. But I think Anfield just gets in their heads, doesn't it? Like, any time they come here, it's always... I always feel when we have a derby that, I get really, sort of, wound up about it for, the week before, and then the game happens and I'm a bit like, oh, all right, why did I need to... Especially the Anfield game, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, absolutely. It tends to be that during the time, especially because, they talk about derby belly and getting nerves before the derby. And you do feel... I usually feel it on the morning, and John's right. Most of the time, by the end of it, was what was I worried about? Even last year, it was a pretty even game, and then Liverpool just scored 2 quick goals and it's done and the game's dead and buried. And that's the thing with these, I suppose, is that I think if you give them confidence, and actually we've got a comment here from Green who says this is a game where you don't want to concede the first early goal, don't give them any hope. And that's exactly what I was about to say, that the only way Everton gets something from this is if you allow them to grow into the game. If you do that stupid mistake or whatever, if it all goes to plan, like Scott says, Liverpool are just better than Everton and you've got to just prove that.
Yeah, 100%. I think what we've got this time is firepower as well. Like you mentioned there about going 1-0 down. I'm not too fussed.
I don't want to go 1-0 down, but I would be more confident now with the way we play now that if we do go 1-0 down to Everton, in previous seasons you'd have been like, ah, oh, they're going to hang on here, they're just going to put 10 men and all the subs in front of the penalty area. But I do think now with what we've got and we're at Anfield, it's a derby, early kickoff. I don't think comes into it because it's a derby. I do think that we'll just deal with whatever comes at us. I'm expecting us, whether the scoreline reflects it, but to be comfortable in the game regardless. Like if it's 1-0 but we batter them and they just hung on for 1-0, or if it's 2-1 or whatever, but I do expect the scoreline, regardless of where it be, to probably not reflect the game. I think we'll batter them tomorrow in terms of possession chances and stuff like that. But yeah, our five strikers play a big part in this. Last 20, like what we didn't have against Brighton, that extra oomph off the bench we'll have now, and can they cope with that away?
Got a comment here from Casper, who's actually an Everton fan, joining us, who says, do you actually rate any of our players? And in terms of their threats, John, has come to it feels like Calvert-Lewin. If Calvert-Lewin plays for Everton, he's always a goal threat. I suppose they've got a decent workman like midfield. They've been using Decore as like a number 10 kind of thing. But yeah, like it's a fair question. Like, do we reckon they're any good?
The better than they have been in recent seasons. I think Decore is probably the player who, when I've watched them, stood out the most in terms of he seemed to be, he's not quite like a 10, but he's like they're getting a bit of a song out of him in terms of he can sort of like box to box and put a pass in.
You need a top scorer or
something like that, yeah. And even if not, he's involved in like all the build up and stuff. So, he's just sort of integral there. But I mean, the big one for them is always Calvert-Lewin. But I've seen bits when I've seen him this season of sort of Garner, and he looks. I'll be interested to see if he starts. I don't know, I haven't seen their press conference, don't know if he's fit or if there's any issues there. Like, but when I've seen him play for Everton this season, the young lad, he's been really good and sort of stood out amongst all the rest of them.
Yeah. Scott, we'll move on to Liverpool now, mate. Just before we went live, Jurgen Klopp confirmed what we all kind of thought. Andy Robertson's done a show, he's going to be surgery, it's 10 weeks out. Just an initial reaction, really. I mean, it's come at a horrendous time for Liverpool, in a time where there's two games a week for the next forever, really.
Yeah.
Obviously, and the fact that it happens on international duty kind of hurts more, doesn't it? When a player gets injured for Liverpool, you can kind of not accept it, but it's like when it happens for Scotland, it's like, oh my God, even worse. But it's about as bad as a shoulder injury can be by all accounts. You need surgery on it. It is a huge blow for the Reds.
Yeah, well, I didn't actually see the game, the Scotland game, but I seen the photo where I think his shirt was round his arm. As soon as you see that, you're fearing the worst. But I think with Tsimikas as a backup, for the first time in probably a while, I'm all right with someone getting injured, just because a couple of years ago we had Milner going in at left back.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Now we've actually got a backup who can Tsimikas, listen, don't get me wrong, he's hit and miss, but he's someone who can come in, and especially at Anfield he probably won't have to do that much defensive work. He's got a cross on him, he's not bad going forward. So yeah, I think for the few weeks going forward, I'm obviously fearful, but just in terms of looking at it tomorrow, I don't think it's a massive, massive miss.
You were a goalie, wasn't you,
a goalie,
Have you ever done your shoulders? Because it's a quite common injury, and if a goalie is to do the shoulders.
Yeah.
It very rarely see, like, I know Mo Salah got his done by Ramos, but you don't really often see players. It is a quite unique injury for an outfield player to get.
Yeah, I actually haven't done it myself, but I was at Swansea a few years ago, and one of the other keepers in the squad, he did it, and he come back from it, and he just never recovered from it. Honestly, whenever he coming into training, like he was holding his shoulder after a dive, like it's one of them that you just always sort of, especially as a goalkeeper, when you're getting up, when you're obviously going to the floor and getting up so much, you just don't really. Yeah, you don't really recover from it with it.
You've got to have surgery. I've got a shoulder injury for a bit. It doesn't affect me playing footy as much now, but playing cricket, I can't bowl anymore properly anyway. If you get surgery on it, you can recover. But if you don't, like man, the backside of me ligaments, so it won't heal, but it won't get worse. But you just like, yeah, you've got to have surgery.
Yeah.
The only thing I was bringing up, I've actually replied to your tweet before, but you were obviously in here waiting for me, was, why haven't he already had the operation?
I think it must be swelling. Do you guys want
to? It's been like 2 weeks.
There was a picture of him the other day outside Greg's, wasn't he? Yeah. We've seen that, so he's enjoying himself.
I thought he wouldn't have the op, because I thought, well, usually it's like someone does the knee and they're in hospital the next day saying be back soon, or they do it. I was surprised that to see Klopp's comments. He's probably going to have surgery, and then all the journos have kind of influenced that. But what's that mean? They're going to wait a bit and see, and
I
then
think
decide.
He said they got a few opinions on it. Right. And then they've decided Sergi's the best option. So it looks like they've obviously waited to see if they can avoid it, and they've turned out they can't. So Mohamed, he asked the question, will Costas play tomorrow? And that's the obvious one.
Yeah.
It's got it, hasn't it? I know a few people have said, what about Gomez? Or can you move Quanta out there and go to more of a back three? But
no.
I suppose, like what you said there, Scott, before, is that Costas just got a new contract.
Yeah.
If he's not going to play with Andy Robertson's out for 10 weeks, he doesn't. Why is he here? It's got to be his time.
And to be fair, I do fear defensively sometimes when he is playing. But just in a game like tomorrow where we're going to have most of the ball, going to be attacking most of the time, it's the obvious choice. He's got to play.
We got a JJ says here, I don't have any issues with Costas playing. He's very good. We have to just give him the chance to shine. Trust me, we'll be singing his praises in the run of games. And the run of games thing there, John, that's the key thing, isn't it? Because I think Scott summed it up. He's in and he's like, oh, and then he's out again. And it's like, now he's going to play every league game up until Christmas. We'll see what Jürgen does in the European games, whether he goes for like a youngster like Chambers or Scanlon or whatever. He might make changes there. But in every league game, we're probably going to see Costas if he's fit. The run of games thing now is that's the important thing. He's had one before, really, when Andy Robbo had a different injury a few years ago, but he's never had that run in the team. We're going to now see what Costas is. And there's no excuses, really, he's going to play every game till Christmas. Like, we're going to find out exactly what his level is and what he is.
Yeah, and you know, the thing as well is, like, I think we've changed slightly how we play this season already, haven't we, in terms of what we were asking from him sort of last season. Season's gone. You basically wanted Robertson light, which we got, but I think we always sort of forget that he hasn't quite got Robertson's pace, so we'd sort of put balls in front of him that he couldn't quite get to, kind of thing. He's not quite been like a third centre half Robertson this season, but it's been a similar type of role we've sort of asked him, and probably fits sort of the Tsimikas's, you know, characteristics a bit more. But as I say, even then, like, if we change, we'll probably play a bit on the left side. It's not no bad thing. I mean, I always think, and this is taken nothing away from Robbo, that I think Tsimikas is a much better crosser of the ball, and his delivery is brilliant. So it's like to have him suddenly in the team, and then maybe Nunes up front is a different sort of dimension to what we do, isn't it? Or even if we're putting, you know, centre halves up there on set plays, kind of thing. So I think my only concern would be the fitness thing, as you say. But if we can sort of box the Europa League group off, so then maybe the last two games don't mean as much, and we can put a youngster out, keep him fresh, all good.
Next question, then Sam will come to you. We know it's going to be Tsimikas, it's going to be Alexander-Arnold, it's going to be Van Dijk, it's going to be Alisson in goal, obviously. Yeah. Who's that centre-back? Matip's been first choice in the league. Konate's been the cup/reserve, and he's been coming off the bench and stuff like that. How do you see this one going?
I think the way the timing worked with Konate coming back from his injury has probably led to the reason why it was that way round. I know they're very different players, but there's probably not much between them for Klopp and his team. Maybe it's horses for courses, but now we've had that break and Konate starting for France. Personally, I don't know about you lads, but I think Konate's got to be the guy. He was last year when we started before it all kind of fell apart injury-wise, but I think he's got to be the guy moving forward. And Matip hasn't been getting through 90s as well, so you need to keep him for the cup games. We need Konate playing 90 minutes in the weekend, and him and Virgil, monsters. They get going together, I think they'll be unstoppable in terms of both in the opposition box and defending. He's rapid, Konate, isn't he? And we're playing 4 or 7 games in this next period against teams who are going to be the lesser opponents, who are going to counter-attack. He's perfect, especially for the league games.
Suppose as well, Scott, we mentioned before, but Calvert-Lewin might be the threat. Beto's the other one there.
Yes.
They're big physical lads. They're not like playing on the... I think Matip's best attributes are on the floor. He reads the game really well. If everything is going to be bombs away towards these two lads, kick and chase and run and harry, it probably does probably suit Ibu. More physical, quicker, like Sam says. Feels like it might be a game for Konate to get himself back in the team.
Yeah, for me, Konate and Van Dijk, that's the best partnership. Yeah. A lot of people do like Matip, but I still do see a lot of mistakes in him, to be honest. Sometimes, when he's on the ball, he goes for them little runs, and sometimes they work. Do you know what I mean? But let's face it, we all have our heart in our mouth when he's doing it. The few mistakes that Konate does make, he more than makes up for with his pace and the amount of goals that he'll probably stop. So, yeah, for me, it's got to be them two. Konate's got to get his run in the team again. He's more physical. He'll be able to deal with Calvert-Lewin in the air as well as Van Dijk. So for me, yeah, it's got to be them two.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't be shocked if it was. Let's move into midfield. It's funny, Sam. I spoke to Lars from Toffee before, and I was like, if Everton gets it on this game, I'll just do it. And they said, we just run the legs off the midfield. They have Garner Gay, Anana, Decore, three of those four, perhaps, and we just run and run and run and harry and press. That was their way of getting around it, and hope that Liverpool have an off day was kind of what John, who I spoke to from Toffee, said. But look, if that's the case, maybe we'll see. But looking at Liverpool's midfield then, the last time the lads played in South America and flew home. Alexis McAllister was one of the worst players I've ever seen. But he was like, I'm not blaming him. He just got off an aeroplane, landed in Wolverhampton, and was just like, he was knackered. He was absolutely done. He got booked after about 20 seconds, and he got hooked off at half time. It's been a bit different this time. They've been back a little bit longer. It hasn't been as quick a turnaround. And he wasn't playing in Bolivia, where it's like, you know, playing on top of a mountain. But is it Endo time? Is it still McAllister as a six? A lot was made of that decision after Brighton.
Yeah, I think before you've just said what you said, and I realised this the other day actually when I saw the results for the South American games. Oh, this is a day earlier than what I expected to see, and because it was the news was that Diaz missed the pen, and then I just kind of followed it from there. I was in the camp of it's Endo, it's Gravenberch, it's Szoboszlai, obviously with Curtis being out, but they're back a bit earlier. It's the derby. It's the first derby for some of these new lads. It's at Anfield. I think McAllister probably plays. And the two mates that I just mentioned, most likely would you agree to join him? Unless he goes Endo and puts Macker in the eight, who knows? But every time I say Endo, he's on the bench, so I'm not going to say Endo. You're not going to start now.
And that's the thing.
That's my thought,
It's one of them joining it, because My thinking was, actually, I've got no issue with McAllister playing as number six in home games, because Liverpool, like Scott said before, they're going to have tons of the ball. But if Everton are going to be uber physical and running chasing Harry, does that suit him? Does it suit an Endo? It is difficult, really, because I kind of feel a little bit sorry for Alexis, and that he's doing a job for the team, and you can tell he's not completely comfortable with it. But if you had to guess, really, it looks like Jürgen's going to back him, and it looks like he is the man again in that position, with Endo probably playing in midweek.
Potentially, I think the midweek thing, I think, adds an interesting complexion to it, because I think if you look at Endo or the games I've seen him in, I think you're looking at him thinking he's been signed for the bottom 10, you know what I mean? Games where they're going to sit in kind of thing, and maybe where they're going to be a bit more physical, we have him in the middle of the park and we have the other two lads ahead of him, you know what I mean? I think if we weren't playing midweek, you'd sort of go Everton bottom 10, you know what I mean, put him in. Maybe it's a slightly different complexion, in the sense of you give him, like you say, this game off. He's just played for Japan, hasn't he, against, was it Tunisia and Canada? And he's had a long flight as well back from over there. So, you know, maybe you give him it off and, you know, you start him midweek, look to be a bit more, you know, direct sort of in that game. But I wouldn't be surprised if he started, to be honest. I think give him sort of, we're going to be a bit light up front, and you've got the thing of, will he sort of start Diaz and Nunes and then look to maybe to hook one, or will he sort of maybe put one on and then take one off, do sort of 60-30? It's one less thing for him to change, if you know what I mean, in terms of the South American lads, isn't it? If you put him on and you can have McAllister a bit further forward, you've got that extra dimension in attack.
We've got a comment here from Thomas, who says Gravenberch has been excellent. Sorry, Gravenberch deserves a start. He's been great every time he's played. What have you made of Gravenberch a start then, Scott, to his career? He looks like, bar the miss at Brighton, which wasn't ideal. Yeah. Other than that, what have you made of him? Do you think he deserves a start tomorrow?
100%, yeah. I 100% have him in there. I think tomorrow's, again, the perfect game, because we are going to have most of the ball again. They're not going to be on us, but it's still a big game. He's still in that atmosphere. He's got to be thrown in at some point. We've bought him for a reason. He's got to be thrown in at some point. For me, I'd go with Gravenberch, Szoboszlai and McAllister as well.
Yeah, I suppose as well. The earlier thing didn't quite work at Brighton. We had Josh on, obviously, doing on the deep dive, and he said, you know, I'm not sure you can have a world where McAllister and Elliot are in the same midfield, because then you are worried about physicality and also height of your team. It is still Sean Dyche's team. The set pieces, they're the land of giants, some of them, if you think about how big a team they are. You can't really go Elliot and McAllister. You might even throw Endo in this mix. You might have to have a little think about the height of the team, because we think back, as I said before, about Everton last season. We scored, but it was seconds after they hit the post from a set play.
Yeah.
Like, they've got Tarkowski in there, that's their threat. Again, I mentioned Beto and Calvert-Lewin, so just the height of the team might negate that. You know, Gravenberch, he certainly has that. He's a big lad.
And I think Elliot was in there. It was a weird setup we put up Brighton, wasn't it, to begin with? And I don't see that this time. I see us playing the system we played for most of the season. I think Elliot's a brilliant young player, bright spark, but I wouldn't be putting him in this type of game, because he's not quick enough to play against that physical side, to get away from them. You know, if you're small and quick, you can get away from a player, can't you? I think he's a quality little talent, but he's not quite there yet, where you would put him in the mix against three, four big brutes in midfield, and they're going to be physical. They have to be physical. They're going to have to gamble Everton on the referee not giving early yellow cards. That's what they're going to have to play on. So yeah, we're going to have to compete. I think he's a super sub again, hopefully so anyway. But I think, going back to the midfield, I think Gravenberch is physical enough McAllister can hold his own and Szoboszlai's definitely physical enough. Yeah. So, yeah, the only caveat to that might be what he does up front. Maybe that links into the midfield. You know, we've talked about it before, Gakpo or Nunes and all that. So, but for me, just isolating it on its own, Elliot's playing the last 15 minutes for me.
Tim says he'd go Gravenberch, Endo, Gravenberch and Szoboszlai, McAllister on off the bench if needed. That is the thing, Scott, I'll come to you, is that Liverpool, don't worry about the goalie, but Liverpool have got three outfield players who have just done the trip to South America and back. Again, against what a reference what Sam says before, it is a little bit of a day earlier, but it is something for the managers to think about. Do you want to start all three lads knowing that you might have to make or take all three of them off? Do you leave one or two of them on the bench? So it's McAllister, Nunez, Diaz are the three who've all played and travelled back from South America in the qualifiers. How much of an impact do you think that's having on his team selection?
Yeah, obviously it's going to come into his thought process. I think it'll be a little bit more with the front three, though. I feel like it'll be a little bit more Nunez, Diaz, who's playing, who's coming on at what time. For the middle three there, I feel like McAllister is an important cog. If you are going to play, say for me again, Gravenberch and Szoboszlai, you need the little bit more technical, you need the little bit that McAllister gives you, maybe that pass that someone else doesn't see. So for me, yeah, I feel like it will come into his thought process, but just a little bit further up the pitch.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Let's talk about the face then. Up front, Salah plays, so don't worry about that. He's got two from four, really. Gakpo's trained once. Jürgen said he's going to see how he reacts there at his press conference. He's obviously just done it before we started speaking. It looks like he's going to be involved in the squad, whether we'll see if he starts or not, John. But he's got two from four there. Gakpo's nursing an injury, just coming back, and two of them have been in South America as well. It kind of probably points towards Jota being on the pitch. It's whether it's up front or on the left-hand side, really.
Yeah, I think you might be looking at him just to do the hard yards, wouldn't you? In which case, maybe he'd start up front and sort of be dropping back into midfield a little bit. For me, it's more a thing of whether we're looking to sort of stretch the game with Diaz and sort of that pacing behind, or whether we're going to go a bit more, I don't want to use the word conservative, but you know what I mean? Like a bit more sort of try and play a bit of football and build a move rather than try and get in behind them, kind of thing. For me, it's a game, you know, it's just sort of touched on it there, that the atmosphere of it kind of thing, I think it's a game where you're going to see Nunes and you probably see the best of him, to be honest. He strikes me as that type of player who's a player for moments, but also he's a player for sort of that atmosphere. He likes being in like a bit of a cauldron. So, you know, the kickoff time might slightly temper that slightly, but I wouldn't be surprised if maybe we start with Jota and Diaz, and then at some point, maybe after half time, you see like a really explosive Nunes.
Does the Tsimikas thing play into this as well, though, Sam? Like, whoever's going to be on the left, and it's not Robbo, it is Tsimikas behind him. Do you want to give him a bit more protection? Ironically, that might meet Jota, although I'm not sure how, you know, his last performance on the wing, he got himself sent off, so I don't know, but it was a different game, I suppose. Does that play into it at all, or do you think it's just is what it is?
I'm not sure. the internationals play too much of a part now with it being them getting back earlier. I think when you've literally got 48 hours, because you got to remember, when you go to Wolves, you come back to Liverpool, then you travel to Wolves, and sometimes you travel
I think he flew home. Jürgen hadn't even seen them before the Friday press conference. Yeah, and they were playing Saturday morning. This time they had been back a couple of days.
He was in training yesterday morning, wasn't he? Yeah. So this is what I mean. It's like, he probably flew back, slept on the plane and turned up for training. Just it's a whole day ahead. I just don't think it matters. I think he'll go with. If there's any injury concerns, like, did someone say Nunes had a bit of cramp or something?
He went off with a bit of cramp, but I think...
He's just tired and he runs a lot. But I genuinely think it'll just be what Klopp thinks is best for this game. I don't think the travel will play a part, which is where we said it about McAllister. I love Diaz, Nunes and Salah. I just think that's the explosive attack we want to see a lot. Gakpo, I actually don't even think he's really that injured. He's probably just been given time to recover. But it may well be, right, you know what? I know you're fit, Nunes. You play 60 and then we'll bring Gakpo on. That way, at least you're protecting Gakpo from maybe getting an injury because he hasn't trained for 2-3 weeks. But other than that, yeah, I don't know about Jota. He kind of let us down, didn't he? You know, he might have to earn that shirt back a little bit by coming off the bench. I wouldn't start him personally, me. I don't know about you lads, but...
Again, I suppose, Scott, the thing I always think with Darwin is... He likes the spacing behind, he likes the running behind. Are Everton going to give you that prop? Maybe, maybe not. If Jota's the one who in the box you'd probably trust the most, and is the ball going to be in the box? Look, that's the decision the manager's got to weigh up, isn't it? Yeah. Because I'm with Sam. I think the most exciting, if you just think about it from a pure excitement point of view, it probably is Salah, Nunes, Diaz. Anything can happen with those three. And we saw against Brighton, Liverpool, you know, got goals through that three linking up well. But again, in a derby game, is it a Darwin game, do you think?
I think, obviously, Nunes loves running in behind a little bit, but I also feel like he's a little bit of a presence through the middle as well.
Yeah, it's been recently, you're right, yeah.
With Tsimikas coming in, great crosser of the ball, a lot of ball's going to be going in the box. Is Salah going to go and head one home? Is Jota going to go and head one home? Nunes is the only real sort of physical presence that we've got up front. So, yeah, I don't think it's only that little bit of behind that he offers us. So, yeah, again, for me, just coming on to what you were saying, Sam, these players, they're in luxury private jets coming back. They're sleeping on the plane back. They're coming home a day early. It's going to come into Klopp's thinking, obviously, but I think you've just got to go full firepower. We've got five strikers there. We've got goals in us. It's this season's probably the first time in a while where you're looking at people coming off the bench who can make an impact. Let's just go for it.
Yeah, the five subs is a good thing. You can't just whip them off, can you? You've got a comment here from Lam who says, Nunes just bossed Brazilia, don't own Everton. It is worth mentioning, though, isn't it, John? Like, he is full of confidence. You know, he's just scored against Brazil and got an assist. The Uruguay's first win over them for a long time in qualifying. He will feel on top of the world. Darwin does feel like one of these fellas. You ride that wave of confidence in you because... When he isn't playing well and when he's in his own head, it looks like you can tell. But when he's fit and he's fired and he's flying, you kind of maybe want to ride that wave. And he must have flew back from his international duty feeling $1 million.
Yeah, you can tell how much he loves all of that. I mean, he clearly loves like playing for his national side and stuff. And he loves that sort of, you know, we talk about sort of the South American mentality a lot with those players. And he clearly has that. He loves that sort of atmosphere and that sort of thing around the game. And, you know, he's been, you know, Scott's right, he's been a bit of a different player this year. He's added sort of that dimension to his game where he was a bit, you know, where we kept using last season was chaos, you know what I mean? But he's sort of added a bit more of a control to his game where he's a bit more, again, I don't use the word conservative, but a bit more, you know, he times his runs better and stuff. I just think he's such a handful. He's, you know, physical presence is exactly what I'd say. He's such, I would have no idea how to mark him if I was playing, even though they've got big lads at the back. He's just such a, you know, if you do try and take him physically, he's quite strong, but then also he's got the pace to go in behind you. He's really tall, so again, on set plays, things like that, you know, and he's actually quite tidy in the build-up as well, which was the thing that I really hadn't sort of seen from him, even when we played, it was Benfica, wasn't it? He was playing from before we had him. You know, so he's got a bit of Everton to him, and I think that can be sort of the thing that you want, and especially like he's given my only concern with the game really, I think, is the kickoff time, and he's the type of player who gets you off your seat, isn't he? You know what I mean? So
it's a bit flat, and half the ground's empty, people haven't got tickets because maybe they could do have a little bit of that. Yeah, might as well move on to it then, Sam. We might as well have a little just think out how we think the game's gonna go. Then it does feel like, again, I speaking to Toffee lads, they're all. Predicting the worst, really. They can't see Everton getting too much out of it. It's going to have to be some type of performance from them to get it. How do you see it panning out?
Yeah, I think we'll dominate the game. I think it'll be 20 plus shots. It'll be a number of corners. it's the early goal for us, isn't it? You know, an early goal against Everton will flatten them because they build themselves up so emotionally for this game. There's a big link between Sean Dyche and their director of football, you know, with Liverpool. They've got all kinds going on with the ownership, might not be in a few weeks, but yeah, I think they're emotionally fragile at the moment. So if we get an early goal, I think it could crumble them. The longer we allow them to get in the game and get settled and feel at home, obviously it becomes more of a problem. But as I mentioned in the earlier part, I just think our firepower is too much for anybody in this league, bar City, if we've got all five of them available. I think whatever two come off the bench are top quality forwards. And I think the scoreline may not reflect the results here. I think we win the game, but we'll batter them. It might not be 4-0 because they're plucky, aren't they? But I think we win the game quite comfortably in our eyes, if that makes any sense to you.
I suppose we will. Scott, like I said, I touched on it before, but if Liverpool have, it's fair to say Liverpool's defensive record hasn't been brilliant this season. It's been a little bit easier at times to score. And that's what, if you're Everton, you're probably thinking just that one mistake or that one chance, that one set play we try and capitalise on. Yeah. Liverpool needs to be, you know, have their heads screwed on, because giving stupid goals where, like they did at Brighton, for example, against Everton, if you do go one down, you are capable of coming back. But all of a sudden, if you think they were deep at 0-0, they're on the edge of the box at 1-0, just saying, come on, have a go at us. Liverpool do need to be a bit more switched on at the back, especially at the start of games.
Yeah, 100%. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if Everton got an early goal tomorrow. I don't think any of us would be surprised. But at the same time, I think it could be a good 4-1 tomorrow. Like, at Anfield, it doesn't matter who's put in front of us. Even City at times, like, it could be any way of scoring a goal. We've all seen us score some like incredible goals and some of the worst. Like, I remember we beat Spurs 2-1 in the season. We nearly won the league 2 or 3 years ago when it come off Vertonghen and Lloris was scrambling. Yeah. And I'm thinking, okay, it's lucky, but we just somehow always find a way at Anfield. No one...
That's the easy, mate. Yeah. The one that bounced off the crossbar.
Some of the craziest goals we've seen at Anfield, and I don't really think it is any coincidence, the pressure that we put on teams, especially now. I just can't see any way of Everton winning the game tomorrow. I think it would be a good 3-4-1, even if we go an early goal down. I still think we're coming back.
Yeah, the firepower is the key there. Yeah. I suppose you'd fancy us against most people. Just to round it up then, John, I'll come to you on it. It is worth mentioning, it's the early kickoff, as we've all said 100 times. What that does mean, and sometimes you forget this with Derby, it is a Premier League match. There are 3 points up for grabs. Mm. If Liverpool win the game, they go top of the league, albeit for a couple of hours. Obviously, there's a few other games, you know, going on around it. But, you know, I know there's a lot of controversy around the Tottenham game, but they did lose that game. Then they drew at Brighton. So they could do with getting things back on track. They, you know, we don't quite know what Liverpool are doing yet. Are they a title challenger or the Champions League place chasing side? We don't know yet. A win against Everton, if it puts you top of the league, or it does reaffirm, actually, we might have our sights set on that, rather than 3 games without a win in the Premier League, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, that might be a bit too far already. I mean, it is a big game just in terms of the table as well.
Yeah, I mean, that first block of games now is out the way, isn't it? And I think it's like something like 25%, isn't it, or something of the games for the season. So it's like, mm-hmm. We're a fair ways in now to the point where, like, this next run, this 7 games or whatever, you know, up to the next one is like, it can be season defining, really. And, you know, Europe obviously plays a bit of a part in that as well in terms of the group and stuff. But this run of fixtures now is quite good, really. I'd say actually weirdly Everton, not just because of where the game is in terms of being the first one back, it's actually probably the hardest game we've got coming up in the next few weeks. You'd fancy us to sort of be taking sort of maximum points from the rest of them. So you want to start as you mean to go on, don't you? You know, and we were, you know, I don't want to say we sort of shook hands on a draw at Brighton, but, like, you know, it was the first game I watched us in where we were a bit like, okay, like, you know, we haven't really, don't know what to do now, kind of thing. And the games before that, we'd just been like so expressive, and, like, you know, it was a bit of a surprise. We weren't expecting it to see it work so well so soon. So just get back to that, get in, you know, take it to them, take, you know, my only thing would be just don't let them score. First goal, I think the first goal is important, because I think if they score first, they get the backs up a bit, as you've sort of said, and we'll drop deeper. But I don't really see much really beyond sort of us winning. And then, as I say, you take that into the games that are coming.
Suppose looking at the fixtures, Sam, and how it pans out. City have got Brighton at home tomorrow. Not easy, but like it's a tough one. Arsenal go to Chelsea as well in the evening kickoff, and then Monday night, Spurs host Fulham. They're the three teams who are above Liverpool so far. I'd say none of them are gimmies.
No.
You'd expect City. I always expect City to win at home. It's not a given. Brighton are decent. Mm-hmm. Tottenham probably should be Fulham, Arsenal, Chelsea. Who knows? But like, if you win the derby and all of a sudden, I would be shocked, I might be wrong, if City, Arsenal and Spurs all won.
Yeah.
You would think one of those is going to drop points in one of those three fixtures. If you get your win, you're in a decent position.
I think Spurs are home to Fulham. I'm not fancying Fulham. I think they'll have the extra break for training to get the lads back in. They're missing Bissouma though, aren't they? But I don't think Fulham are quite that side they were at times last year. Arsenal, Chelsea though, Chelsea just won back-to-back games, a few players back from injury. Could be a big game.
Brighton City could be anything.
Oh, mate, yeah. City will be like, all the teams, the one team that has the ball more than them, they're going to do a bit more running. They're not going to like that. So that, I think that's a crack at that game, actually. I can't believe it's 3 o'clock.
Yeah, they haven't got that.
Baffles you, doesn't it?
Yeah, Arsenal. You get to watch Arsenal, then you get to watch a bit of West Ham, Aston Villa, because who doesn't want that on the TV?
Don't forget the cricket as well, Steve.
There's a lot going on in the sporting world, isn't it? Right, then I'm going to wrap up there. I'm going to start asking you all predictions. I'll start this way and go round. So, scoreline tomorrow, Sam, and give me a goal scorer as well.
Yeah, I'll go 3-0, I think, Mo Salah.
It's on the score. I mean, it's a banker in it, really. You'd be shocked if he doesn't score these. You'd be shocked if he doesn't score these days, the king.
I'll go 3-1 and Nunes.
Scott, what can I get from you, Scott?
I'm going to go 4-1 and Szoboszlai, outside the box.
Love that.
He is brilliant. He's so good. We haven't even spoken about the two best players, Salah and Szoboszlai. Yeah. It's just a given how great those two are. They both had decent internationals as well, so yeah, fair enough. I said 3-1. And I think it might be the Mo Salah show. I think he's got, you know, he's off the field. He had a few things to say this week as well, and I think he might just have a little bit of a fire in his belly. I could see Mo Salah having a wonder. I mean, yeah, he's just brilliant, isn't he? So yeah, thanks very much, Sam. Thanks very much to you, John, and thanks, Scott. First debut, I'm sure we'll have you back, mate.
Yeah.
If the comment section's anything to go by, mate, you're a popular guy. I've had a few comments of it. I'm just here to watch Scott. Yeah, they've got a few of those on me.
Send your number in.
He takes DMs. Yeah, there's another one. He's got a heart emoji from Hannah. Hannah's a fan. Yeah, so. I'm looking for a couple for you guys now, I'll be honest.
Tell Sam to shut up is what he usually says anyway.
Can you just put the shot back on Scott?
Steve's been working out, come on, isn't
I said put him over there, I don't need that in my life. Thanks very much, mate. It's an absolute pleasure. I'm sure we'll have you on. Thanks all you guys for checking out. Like I say, we've got loads of content in and around the derby post game as well, so if you want to check that out, over on redmenplus.com. got a special offer for you. If you sign up and use the code IMR when you sign up as a monthly captain, you'll get 2 months for 50%. So you're 50% off for 2 months. That's the better way of saying it. So yeah, come and check out all of our amazing derby content over the weekend. Hopefully the Reds can get another 3 points and, more importantly, shut up the Blues. See you all soon.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.